Anyway, April 5th is Easter. We want you to start now inviting your friends, especially your unchurched friends. We added about 15 extra chairs to the church yesterday. So we're up to about 180-something chairs in the sanctuary right now. So feel free to invite. We got room. How many people would be glad to give up their seat for a visitor? Amen. We'll set around the walls if we need to. So invite your unsaved, unchurched loved ones, friends. Even if you don't like them, invite them. You might like them after they get saved. I believe God wants to do something in Easter. Amen. You know, guys, we celebrate a lot of holidays, but there is no more important holiday than Easter, Resurrection Day, for the child of God. That's it, buddy. There ain't nothing that compares with that. Because He lives, we live also. So, and He lives. Amen. Turn to your Bibles to 2 Peter. We do have a business meeting directly after service, so we'll say goodbye to some that don't want to stay. Everyone is invited. Members vote, but everyone is invited to stay. Let me just say, we will always be very transparent in this church. We have no secrets. We don't want to have secrets. We want every person to know, here's what we're doing. Mandy keeps the books for us as a volunteer. She volunteers her time, and she spends a lot of time doing that. But then we have two people count the offering every service. That's just not because we don't trust people, but it's good business. Mandy then makes the deposit, puts it in the book, and then every year we have an accountant. For the last 2 years, it's been Eddie, has looked over the books just to make adjustments, to see if there's anything, if there's any error in any way. That's the way you would run a business in the world. You would have somebody. And this church is blessed with accountants. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate their service. We want to be transparent. We don't want to hide. We don't want to have any secrets. Secrets causes rumors, and rumors cause dissension, and dissension causes the body of Christ to be embarrassed. We don't want it. We want the kingdom of God to grow. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Isn't that a great prophecy? Even as there will be. You notice what Peter's saying? There will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and He did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, It Matters What I Believe. It matters what I believe. So he's talking today about false teachers coming into the church and beginning to teach a wrong doctrine. Now, let me just say, there may be teachers in your life that have taught you something erroneously, something that's wrong. That does not make them a false teacher, right? Every one of us get things wrong from time to time. We've all been wrong, and we try to make it right when our knowledge increases and when we have better understanding. We'll say, hey, guys, I was wrong on this. We need to correct our thinking. False teachers have a motive. They're trying to take you somewhere that God doesn't want you to go. So I broke this down. False teachers are people who cultivate spiritual recklessness and moral irresponsibility. They're trying to teach you something that is not going to benefit you, bringing in destructive heresy. And heresy is something that's independent of the truth. It's professing an opinion that's independent from the truth. Now, if you remember, when Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said, "Well, what is the truth?" Didn't give Jesus the time to answer it, but he asked, he said, "What is truth?" Well, I got news for him. The chapter before that, Jesus answered it. And he says in John 17, that was John 18 where Pilate asked that, but in John 17, Jesus already answered this question. And he said, "My word, thy word is truth." So guys, let me just tell you, anybody that teaches anything that's contrary to the word of God, that's a false teacher. If they begin to tell you something that doesn't line up with the word, dismiss it. Get rid of it. But when they have a motive, you're in the wrong place. When there's something that they're teaching you wrong doctrine and there seems to be a motive for that, then you're more than seeing the guy that's making an error of Scripture. It's extremely important. And you will notice when I preach, if I preach and I'm teaching you the Word, I teach you the Word. But if there's something that I have an opinion on, you will usually hear me say these words. "Now, I think this means this." Why? I am separating my opinion from what the Word of God strictly declares. I want you to know the difference. Because when the Word of God says it, it's not up for debate. It doesn't matter. Now, I am going to discuss some things today that might not make you just real happy. Because do you understand that the world is trying to teach you? All the time. Every time you pick up a newspaper, every time you turn on the evening news, you listen to the radio, I want to tell you, the world has an agenda. Satan has got control of the newscast, by and large. I'm not saying it's all evil, but I'm saying there's definitely a theme that runs contrary. I'm going to tell you, 40, 50 years ago, you wouldn't have heard a sermon like this because there would have been no need for it. But today, you got to come back and you got to say, guys, stay on the word of truth. Don't listen to what the world is trying to tell you. It's heresy and it's taking you out of the church. Unfortunately, it's not really taking you out of the church. It's come into the church. Do you realize that this week, I believe, the Presbyterian Church voted that they will begin to marry homosexuals? Now, guys, it does not matter what Eric thinks. It matters what the Word of God says. And the Word of God put Adam and Eve. He is the one that instituted marriage, not a man. God did it. Why do you think Satan is so hard against it? Say, "Pastor, do you hate homosexuals?" No, I don't. There's not an ounce of hate in my heart for homosexuals. I believe this. I believe homosexuality is not a whole lot of different than a lot of other sexual sins. You have got to learn to contain yourself. I know there's people that have same-sex attractions, but they never act on it. Why? Because they know it's not godly. So they never act on it. Guys, you remember what it's like to be 19, 20 years old. There's things that you just had to not act upon, right? Eric, I'm going to tell you. This old boy here had to not act upon a lot of impulses. It's no different. except in Romans chapter 1, he tells us that homosexuality is a sin. He goes a little bit beyond that. He says it's an abomination. And you start studying your history, and you will find that every nation that accepts it as an alternate lifestyle will meet judgment. Where are we at today in our nation? We're at the point where not the world saying it's okay, but where the church is starting to say it's okay. Guys, I'm going to tell you, judgment's coming. Not for America, because America's not alone in this. Judgment's coming for this world. You know, that being an Assembly of God church, we are a pre-rapture church. We believe, not pre-rapture, pre-tribulation. We believe that before the tribulation comes, that there's going to be a rapture of the church, a catching away of the bride. There are many, many people that believe opposite of that. I'm not here to teach you one way or the other today. But I am telling you that many, many, many teachers are beginning to say, this is it. Especially those that believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. They believe that tribulation is probably going to happen in 2015. Say, why do you say that, Eric? Because I think when you start hearing commotion about stuff, you better look up. I don't say I agree with them, but I say I better get ready. Because I hope they're wrong, but I hope they're right. I hope it's here, but I hope I'm gone. Say, Eric, is homosexuality, is that it? No, that's not it. That's not the only thing. It's everything. It's how we handle our money. How the world wants to tell you how to handle your money. They want to tell you how to raise your children. They want to tell you who to marry and what to marry and what's legal and what's not legal. They want to tell every woman that you're in control of your body. And if you have something growing inside of you that you don't want, just get rid of it. Do you know that sin is as old as the Bible itself? Some of the things that we will talk about today, you know what they were doing? They were sacrificing children to gods. Do you understand that's what an abortion is? You're sacrificing a child to the god of this age. Humanists are trying to change us because for centuries it's been the church that has been the moral compass in the world. And we're beginning to take steps back. Am I making sense to you? It's scary, guys. It's scary to me. Hold on to the doctrine of this word. Don't let it go. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what this book teaches. Can I say that? Let me say it this way. When your thoughts run contrary to the book, change your thoughts. God is not a liar, and God does not change, and God always wants your best. You can be sure of that. You cannot be sure that every day is going to be a holiday and every day is going to be glorious. Hallelujah, I'm just blessed in everything I do. Monday, I didn't feel blessed in everything I did. As I was just had my face way too close to a toilet. I don't care for that one iota. I didn't feel blessed at that moment. But I know Jesus loves me. And I know He wants good for me. And those two truths you can always hang on to. Don't ever forget this. All good things come from God. All bad things come from the devil. There is no shadow of turning in God. He does not have good days and He doesn't have bad days. God is good. And the devil's always bad. Now I know some of you think, come on, we're not in kindergarten. No, I don't even think we're prepared to go into kindergarten yet. I think the church is so upside down on things that sometimes we do assign bad things to God. And we assign good things to the devil. And that's wrong. Amen. Make sure your doctrine's right. Amen. So he tells us, he says some things. He says that they deny the Lord. There are whole, I don't want to call them denominations. There are whole sects of religious bodies that you have to get pretty deep into before you will find this to be true. They will tell you that they believe Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not until you get very deep that they will say that Jesus is one of the sons of God. I'm sorry, they're wrong. Jesus is the only Son of God. Jesus is the only way to be saved. The only way to be saved. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father except I draw them. In Acts 4:12, he says that salvation is found in no other name. No other name can you be saved than the name of Jesus. Are you following me today? This is the doctrine. This is the truth. This is not Eric's opinion. This is truth. Truth you can build on. A lie you cannot. This is a basic fundamental doctrine of the church, is that Jesus is the way. I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what popular movie star says. Jesus is the only way to be saved. He says many will follow. Many will follow what? Many will follow the heresy. Ooh, that's news. No, it's not. Because in Matthew 7:13, Jesus told us that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many will be that follows it. Right? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. So he told us this is going to happen. The way of truth is blasphemed. It means, blaspheme means to speak irreverently. The way of truth, guys, can I just say this? Being a Christian is not just real popular today. Right? Being a spirit-filled Christian is even less. You want to see people roll their eyes at you? Tell them you speak in tongues. Oh, you're a freak of nature. Well, if I am, there's millions and millions of others just like me. It's the only thing growing in Christendom is the Pentecostal, spirit-filled truth. It's growing, guys. It's growing. When others are not, it's still growing. Even in America, it's growing and expanding. The way of truth is blasphemed. It's turned into a lie. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good word. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Means God used people to write it down, but it was inspired by God. And it's profitable for doctrine. Get your doctrine, what you believe, from the Word. Don't get it from TV. You even need to be careful getting it from mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa. Grandpa and grandpa. Now that sounds like a new. That's probably going to be more years. I thought about that. Who gives this woman to be married? Her mother and her mother. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. We don't like reproof and we don't like correction, but the Word of God is good to correct you. And you need, if you're wrong, your attitude ought to be, Father, correct me. Show me when I'm messing up. Show me when I'm wrong. And he will do that. He is great about doing that. so that we'll be thoroughly equipped, he says. I've got news for you. Christians today, you better take a stand on the word. You better be thoroughly equipped, because it's not getting easier to live for God. It's getting more difficult. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says," the Spirit expressly, I'm trying to be as bold, the Spirit of God is saying, I'm trying to be as plain as I can, "that in the later times," are we in the later times? I believe that we are. "In the later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared by a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from certain foods." So he says, the Spirit of God is saying, in the last days, there are going to be some that's going to depart from the faith. Now, how can you depart from something if you've never been there? You see, Brother Bud can depart from this sanctuary, but the guy up at Trilinger's cannot, because he's never been here. Am I making myself clear? Now, there is a huge doctrine that says that you cannot do this. And I do not speak bad against the people that promote that. I love the denomination, but I disagree with this doctrine that they teach. The Baptists teach that you can't, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way. I love the Baptists. Most of the people in this room would not be saved had it not been for the Baptist church. So let us not say anything against them. God bless the Baptists. They're still getting people saved, and they love people, and they're promoting the way of... I don't have anything bad to say about them. But I do say this doctrine that they teach is not right. If you don't believe anything, you got to believe... Did I misquote that? Is 1 Timothy 4:1 not there? Some will depart from the faith. What's that mean? They're going to leave. Now, we can argue and we can say, well, they were never saved. Who says that? The Word of God says they would depart. What's that mean? It means that Satan is going to be so real. There is going to be such a spirit of deception that those who walk with God will not walk with Him any longer. That scares me. You better know what you believe. You better know that you're sound in your doctrine. You better know that you're in Christ and Christ is in you. I really don't like to preach that hard. Just because it gets me out of breath. But I'm just telling you, that's a damnable doctrine. I just think about how many thousands of people that are headed towards hell that at one time said a prayer to Jesus. That scares me. The Bible says about these false teachers that they have a motive, and their motive is covetousness. What is covetousness? I heard you got a new car. I want it. That's covetousness. Covetousness is to see something that belongs to someone else and you want it. You don't think they deserve it. You want it. What are false teachers out for? Your trust. They want you to trust them. Guys, I worked in retail for 7 years. Learned a lot. I opened a store one time in Evansville, Indiana, and the company said, okay, he said, you need to catch this many shoplifters, this many thieves every week. And I said, well, you're putting a number to it? And they said, yeah. And they said, of this number, this percentage need to be employees. I said, okay, I was a little naive. Well, I don't think we hired any thieves. Oh my goodness. Yeah, they had the same reaction. They about laughed me out of the room. The day came when I had to fire some of the people that I liked the best. You know why? Because a thief wants you to like them. Somebody that's stealing from you, they want you to trust them. And they were the most outgoing, the most gregarious. They were your buddy. Why? Because if I like you, I'm not going to watch you as close as the person that I may not like as well. So they're the guy in the back rooms telling the jokes and slapping you on the back. And they laugh really hard at your jokes, which you always love people to laugh at your jokes, right? You see, these false teachers, they want something you got. They got a motive involved, and it's covetousness. They want you to trust them so that they can exploit you. It's what the Word of God says. With deceptive words. What are deceptive words? It's words that's been twisted. When Satan come into the Garden of Eden and started talking to Eve, do you know what he used? He used God's words. He just twisted it just a little bit. He just brought up a little doubt and said, did he really say this? Well, you know, he doesn't want you to be like him. He don't want you to be all-knowing. I'm going to tell you, if Satan could go into a perfect environment to people that walked with God every day, don't you dare think he won't be at your door. He will be there with those same deceptive words. And they don't care what happens to you. You see, they don't care. They don't value you. They value maybe what you've got in your billfold, what you can do for them, but they don't value you. I'm going to tell you something that is really the truth. I would rather you go to another church if you can grow and become more productive than you can here. And that's the truth. Why? Because I want you to do well. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be like Jesus. And if it can't happen here for you, my goodness, I'll help you find a church. I believe it can happen here. You heard the old saying, we don't care how much you know until we know how much you care. If a person doesn't care for you, you better question their motive. The Bible tells us that judgment is coming, and he begins to give us examples. And I want you to see what God is saying. Hey, if I judge the angels in heaven, don't you think that I won't judge the earth? The angels in heaven that rebelled against God were judged. He goes on and he says Sodom and Gomorrah was judged, right? He says Noah's generation was judged. They become excessively wicked. Every thought, every imagination was on wickedness all the time. And he judged them. I wrote this down. What was Noah's generation like? They were offering their children as sacrifices. Their thoughts was on evil continually. The earth was filled with violence. Marriage was cheapened. Does that not sound like today? They were giving in marriage. So are we. We don't even care if you're the opposite sex. The heart of men were on violence. Have you been listening to the news? I can't. Every vile imagination is happening today. People are shooting each other because they cut them off in traffic. I'm telling you, we're living in a violent age. People,
good people are wanting to bring pistols to church. I think that's funny. I guess you don't, but I think it is. We're in such a violent state. I don't think people feel, they don't feel at peace anywhere. Oh my goodness, shouldn't we at least feel the peace of God in church? Matthew 24 makes the comparison of Noah's day to our day, to the end times. We're there. If God judged those in the past, He will judge our generation. Can I just say this? Noah was a righteous man. Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. Out there building this ship on dry ground where it's never rained before. Be like building a boat in the middle of the desert. And this guy's every swing of the hammer, he's saying, guys, you better repent. You better get your life in order. Doesn't that sound like the church today? Guys, you better repent. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Jesus is calling us to righteousness. There is a judgment day coming. Guys, you better listen. This boat's almost done. And only 8 people enter the boat. But here's what I want you to see. They were saved. Those righteous people were lifted off the earth. And that's one of the reasons I believe in the rapture of the church. Because I believe God is going to lift up the righteous off this earth before the judgment comes. You can disagree with that. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can. The Bible talks about Lot. Now, all of us know Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. The Bible calls Lot a righteous man. Do you find that funny? You find that interesting? I do. I find it a little interesting. So let me skip down for just a second and say, righteousness is defined as divine approval. What is deemed right or acceptable by God, right standing of God. So when God speaks to Abraham about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham whittles the number down. Remember, he's talking to God, well, what? And he gets him all the way down to 10. You know why? Because he knew Lot and his wife and his family was there. And he's thinking, surely there's a couple more. Will you not destroy them if there's only 10? And God says, okay, I will not destroy them if there's only 10. There wasn't 10. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says right here that that righteous man, Lot, his soul, I like the old King James, it says his soul was vexed. Vexed means poisoned. He must have eaten at Wendy's in Virginia, is what I'm going to tell you. I know what it's like to be poisoned now. His soul, not his body, but his soul had been poisoned because of where he lived. See, the Bible says, you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We're supposed to be pilgrims, sojourners, dual citizens. We're citizens of heaven. We're occupying space on this earth, but our citizenship is in heaven. We shall not and should not ever become a part of this society. We should influence this society for Jesus Christ. What happened is Lot became part of the society. The Bible says that he sat at the gate. Well, what's that mean, Eric? It means he was part of the judgment. He was like a city councilman. He was part of the city. He engaged in it. The Bible says that righteous man's soul was poisoned. I got news for you. I believe the day the church has been poisoned because we've been living too close to this world. But I've got good news. The good news is God delivered Lot. And it called him righteous. I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. But I don't want us to get so judgmental, and I don't want you to walk in so much fear that you're constantly afraid of losing your salvation. I believe we should be secure in our salvation. We ought to know. Not everything you do is right. But somehow, God looks at you and says, it's not about your doing, it's about your being. Righteousness is a gift of God. It's not about what we do, thank you, Jesus. Because there's none of us that are righteous according to what we do. Righteousness is a gift of God. Do you realize my wife has to go home with this every day? I know you must feel sorry for her. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Have you ever really blown it? Really found yourself in a mess and thought, how'd I get here? Isn't it an amazing thing that God would still call you righteous? I'm telling you, just blows my mind. It blows my mind. But I am thankful. I am thankful that I don't earn my way to heaven. I don't get to go to heaven because Eric's so good. Because Eric ain't that good. Thank God Trevor's not in here right now. I want to read to you just one more portion of scripture and we'll close. And it's in Romans chapter 5 verse 17. I think I typed it for you. Actually, I know I typed it. I typed it twice. Watch that secretary though. She messes up sometimes. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say, can you explain that, Eric? Yeah. It's really not what you did. You were born a sinner. Because it's about what Adam did. You were born into sin. But Jesus Christ come. Because one man sinned, you're a sinner. But because one man is righteous, you can be made righteous. That's a pretty good trade. I want to read a couple more verses. Verse 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this is a heresy that's going on today. And he answers it and he says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? In verse 12, he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you should obey its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. What's that mean? It means you cannot say the devil made me do it any longer. Because he ain't got any power over you. Okay, I want to give you five things and we'll close. Righteousness cannot be earned. It is a gift of God. But you need to accept it. And you need to quit seeing yourself as a dirty worm of the dirt. And start seeing yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It changes the way you pray and it changes the way you represent Him. Number two, you must be made righteous to go to heaven. unrighteousness will not enter in. You must be made righteous. You must accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. That's why we can say it doesn't come through any other name. It doesn't come through any other person. There's only one person that ever walked on this earth that was righteous, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And we must accept His righteousness, because you never can be without Him. Number three, the law was given so you'd know how rotten you really were. It's the standard of righteousness. He says, I need to show these people how bad they are. So He gave us the law. It was never made to perfect us. Number four, it's grace that brings us into righteousness. It's not that He likes you better than He likes someone else. It's God's grace, God's favor. I would that all men everywhere would be saved. That's God's heart. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. God wants everyone to be righteous. My responsibility, number five, my responsibility after I accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ is not to go back in and wallow in sin. God did not deliver you from sin to let you go back into it. He wants you to stay away from it. Stay as far away as you can. Amen. Stand with me. I am sorry that I... No, I'm not. I'm sorry I spit on Matt, but other than that, I'm not really sorry. I hope that through... I don't preach like that because I'm mad. I preach like that because there is such passion and fire in me. It's just the way God created. I cannot do this any other way. I'm sorry. It just comes out. I don't come to church thinking, boy, I'm going to let them have it today. That's never a thought. Matter of fact, when this happens, I'm always a little amazed. Lord, quite honestly, it's just a little embarrassing. I've got to face you guys the rest of the week. And I know that one little girl says, why does Pastor act like that? And I think their mama says, I'm not really for sure. No, she didn't say that. I want every one of you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is nothing else more important. There's nothing. Who you marry, how much money you make, it doesn't matter nearly as much is that you know that Jesus Christ has made you righteous. Bow your heads with me. I want you to know that you know that you know that you are born again. If you do not know absolutely that you are saved with just an uplifted hand, I will not embarrass you in the least. But just with an uplifted hand, I just want to pray for you. Is anyone here that would say, Pastor, as you pray, pray for me. I need to be secure in my salvation. Amen. I see your hand. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. God bless you, folks. Three men. I love it when men get saved. Say, Eric, that sounds prejudiced. The Bible says that when the jailer got saved, his entire household got saved. And I love household salvation. So I encourage you, take it back to your wives. Take it back to your families and tell them what Jesus has done in your heart. Fellas, you can pray quietly, but silently to yourself. But I want you to pray this prayer. Jesus, I need a Savior. I know that I am unrighteous. I know that I have messed up so many times, and I'm asking that you forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, and give me that gift of righteousness that Eric was talking about. I accept you not only as my Savior, but as the Lord of my life, and I will endeavor to live for you all the days of my life. And depart from sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, guys, I want you to know that if you pray that prayer, doesn't have to be word for word, but I want you to know you're saved. If you prayed it in humility, if you prayed it in sincerity, you are saved. Now, there's some things that you need to do after salvation, because, see, salvation is not a one-time event. It's a journey. You're going to continually be saved. We're all on this journey of salvation. And the Lord works things out of your heart, and He does great things for you. But you need to make sure that you're part of a Bible-believing, truth-preaching church. You need to be getting in the book. You need to read the Bible so that you know the correct doctrine. You need to pray. You need to be a part of a fellowship. You need to find somebody that you respect more than anyone else as being a man of God or a woman of God, because it's men that pray today, a man of God, and say, will you mentor me? Will you teach me? And let them pour godliness into your life. God bless you, folks. I love you. Very sincerely, I love you. I want the best for you. It's good to have you today. Pastor Ray, come and get these people out of here.